Psalm 126, verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us all pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord, thank you, Lord, for restoring every one of us. We were all in some captivity in our life in the past, but Lord, you visited us, you came for us, you loved us first, you called us by name, you touched us in your everlasting mercy, you blessed us to experience your agape, and Lord, you delivered us, you showed mercy to all of us, O Lord. And Lord, we all pray that may you bless every one of us today, that we don't betray the love that you showed on Calvary, that we don't turn to be unfaithful, unrighteous against the Holy Ghost that has been given to all of us, that we don't run back into the slavery of this world, of this wickedness, of this darkness, against the truth that shine light upon every man and every woman on earth, those who are called according to his purpose. Lord, we pray, may you come and minister to all of us today, O Lord, in your word, by the leading of your spirit, as we continue to meditate on the importance of having the discernment in the Spirit of God, having the discernment in the righteousness of God. And Lord, you alone who is wise, may you come and bless us. In your presence there is deliverance. In your presence there is healing. In your presence, O Lord, there is renewal, revival, restoration, repair. For you are the great physician of the body of Christ. And Lord, we pray, may you come and touch us, that we are all healed. We start proclaiming the death on Calvary every single day, O Lord, that we may all conform to the image of God, that we may all continue to decorate ourselves ready as a bride of Christ, preparing herself for the marriage, trim the lamp to keep ourselves stay spiritually awake in the state of the mind of Jesus Christ, to grow and attain the fullness of your measure. Father in heaven, we pray that may you have thine own way, O Lord, in the midst of us. We pray and we surrender the last part of this sermon series at thy feet. As you are the one who began, may you, Lord, come and bless us to end this series for the glory of thy name. And may you teach us in thy wisdom. May you bless us to be rooted, steadfast, immovable in thy truth. And Lord, may you guide us that we all do all of this in agape. In Jesus Christ's name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom. Greetings to you all in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord for guiding us past 3 months There are beautifully perfect 12 chapters in the book of Daniel. And by the grace of God, today we will end the series to open the door for a new series as the Lord leads. May the Lord guide us that whatever that we meditated in the scripture in the last 11 Sundays, and may it all come to the fruition as we complete the book of Daniel, not from the eyes of revelation, not from the perspective of interpretation, what's going to happen tomorrow, what is happening now, not from that perspective, but looking at Daniel as a person, not the book of Daniel as a book of knowledge. So by the grace of God, we will start from the very last verse of the book of Daniel. And may the Lord guide us that we complete this for the glory of His name. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things. Verse 9, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Verse 10 says, the wicked shall not understand, the wise shall understand. And verse 8 says, Daniel heard and Daniel understood not. So can we simply say Daniel was a wicked person just because he understood not? The Lord keeps secrets against time, and the Lord revealed secrets through grace. Not everything is revealed to everyone. Not everyone gets the understanding of everything. Amen. But yet the Lord says, the things of the spirit cannot be received by the things of the natural things. And the desire of our heart cannot surpass the perfect will of God. Amen. So Daniel had the desire to know what it is. Can I know more? Because he used to get answers. And the Lord says, not this time. 12 chapters of God revealed interpretation to Daniel. And most importantly, chapter 11 is one of the most precisely written prophetical words concerning time of past and as well as concerning times of now and also the times of the future, which is still being fulfilled. So Daniel had the desire and asked the Lord, can I know what's going to happen at the end of the things? And the Lord says, no. Then he reveals how the understanding is going to divide the wheat and divide the tares. Those who understood, they did not understand the interpretation of God's prophecies, which the devil do, but they understood the Holy One in agape. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That understanding is what the Lord is revealing. Those who are His will understand Him in His love. Amen. And His love is not far away from His righteousness. Everything bows to God's righteousness. If we have the same sermon series in discernment in God's mercy, we will all go completely in a wrong direction. If we have the same sermon series in God's grace and love, we will all go in completely wrong direction. Because mercy can be easily misunderstood. Love, grace can be easily misunderstood. Will feed you complacency and lukewarm state. But God's righteousness will position the children of God in the place that they are supposed to be. Placing on the mountain. Planting in the vineyard. Now, the Lord explains Daniel purified. He did not say saved. He did not say healed. Purified. It points to a process, a journey. The words of the Lord are purified like silver 7 times. Purified, a journey 7 times. Not once, not an event, but a process. In verse 11, he says, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days. The Lord is being absolutely precise, because he don't play games with his people. He says this is how it is going to be, because he is the one who is going to unleash the season of grace, especially after the Gentile kings entered the glorious promised land. Now Daniel is hearing all of this, but the last verse, last two verses, is not the words of Daniel, but the Lord himself finished the chapter. Blessed is he that waiteth, not the one who runneth, not the one who willeth. Blessed is he that waiteth. But book of Psalm chapter 1, David starts by saying, blessed is he who walketh not. He talks about walk not. Don't walk into ungodly counsel. Don't sit in the seats of scornful. So David talks about walking and sitting. Walk not, sit not. And God tells Daniel, blessed is he that waiteth. Why do you think God gave the revelation to John the Apostle, not to Peter? Have you ever seen Peter in a patient, peaceful, waiting mindset? In the scripture? Not even once. He's a man of running, always to do the best, always running. That is why he denied Christ 3 times. But John was a silent vessel. Even when Peter and John entered the synagogue, they went near the beautiful gate of Solomon. They healed the lame who was seated outside the gate all his life. It was Peter who spoke, but John was hiding behind Peter. Because Jesus said, Peter, you are the rock upon which I'll build the rock. I'll build a church. Even when the tombs, the stone was taken away, it was Peter who entered first. The one who ran first, he waited for Peter to step in. Because John knew his position. And in his patience, in his silence, in his quietness, you could see he was not performing so much miracles as Peter or Paul or other notable names. But he just came out of nowhere at the very end in the island of Patmos, and the Lord revealed the revelation to him. And on the day of crucifixion, Jesus looked at John the beloved and tells him, behold, is your mother. Why he said this to him? And why he said, behold, is your mother? What exactly the Lord told John? Now answer me, which one is a great revelation? Behold is thy mother, or the book of Revelation? The whole world will say book of Revelation. Look at the chapters, 20 plus chapters of mighty things to happen. But if John could not even understand what the Lord told him, behold is thy mother, if he can't understand what the agape said, in what context the Lord said, if he can't understand, the revelation profits nothing. If the family of God abides not as one, united by the blood of Jesus Christ, being alive in the Spirit of God, then what's the point of understanding book of Revelation? Nothing. What's the point of preaching doctrines all corners of the earth if what we don't understand, why Jesus prayed in chapter 17, I believe, the prayer of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He ends the entire prayer by saying, I in you, you in me, and we are all one, and Father in me, I in Father, we are one. He was keep on talking about confirming everything as one, one, one. To point all the way back to book of Genesis, and God says, let us make an image. Let us make a man in our image and likeness. Let us. What is let us? Can the Lord come and say now? He cannot, because the whole world is filled with filthiness, sins, iniquities, abominations, disobedience, everything that is against God, what he hates. But the book of Revelation says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. All earth shall be filled with his glory. Then the Lord can say, I am all in all. And Jesus tells the apostles, you will receive the power the power of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, because of the power, you will be a witness unto me in Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, all corners of the earth. For what? To fill the glory of the Lord in all the places that are filled with darkness. And the Lord says, shine my light. So, the bride of Christ doing the work of the groom. Because the glory of the Lord, if it leaves the Garden of Eden, then the Garden of Eden is nothing but Jericho. If the glory of the Lord leaves Jerusalem, then Jerusalem itself is Jericho. But if the Lord chooses to enter Jericho in His glory, He can change Jericho into a Jerusalem. Because at the end of the day, where the glory of the Lord stands is where the children of God shall be. Because book of Zechariah 2 verse 5 says, God dwells in the midst of His children. And they shall stand round about like a wall of fire around Him. Like how the Moses tabernacle, when they worshipped the Lord, Shekinah glory descended. And people witnessed, every man stood at his own tent door and they worshipped the Lord. Now, book of Daniel is going to end on a note that speaks to the bride of Christ straight, face to face. Look at the last verse. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. What is cometh? Blessed is he waiteth. We understand we all can wait by doing nothing. But how can you come if you wait? Come up hither. Come to the marriage of the Lamb. Come and commune with the Lord. How can we come? Look at the last verse. But go thou thy way. Lord, you said come. Now he says go thy way. Lord, he said come. Go thy way. The Lord speaks these words to Daniel twice. Go thy way, Daniel. Go thy way. Go thy way. What is go thy way? And we say, have thine own way, Lord. Go thy way. Choose your way. I can choose my way. And if that way is He Himself, blessed is He who walketh and cometh. If the way is me, myself, blessed is he who walketh not into the counsel of ungodly. Which means, cursed is he who walketh into the counsel of ungodly. Now, go thy way, and he says, till the end be. Until the end be, you go thy way. Whenever your life comes to an end, you finish your journey. You don't worry about too much about tomorrow. You finish your journey. Take up thy cross. Deny thyself. You have the desire to follow me. Do my works and finish your journey. If you look at the difference in the Old Testament, God says, walk with me. Amen. Abraham walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Praise the Lord. Moses walked with God. Praise the Lord. But in the New Testament, Apostle Paul says, run the race. Did he say that? Run the race. But sometimes our flesh will deceive us. We should strive and do everything as if we lose our everything and die. Run the race. When God has given us grace, Lot lingered when the two angels commanded him. Lot was hesitating. What can we do? Is there a plan A, plan B, plan C? Or why can't I think better than the two angels? Because I was the one who preserved them, right? Lot was lingering and the angels were angry. And they pulled him inside by the mercy of God. If they let him linger, he would be killed on the spot. Isn't it? Lingering, run the race. That is, if you know to do good, if you don't do it, it is sin. If you know to do what is peaceful, joyful, acceptable in sight of God, if you don't do it, we are lingering. And Apostle Paul says, run the race, finish it, what the Lord has expected of you. It is not rushing, it is not running physically, but doing everything in decent and in order. Can I run in decent and in order? Of course, yes. If you know the pace set by the Spirit of God. Because the Lord set the pace, how fast, how slow, how restful you should be. Amen? If the scripture says in Psalm 127 verse 2, I believe, which we read today, the Lord sent the beloved to sleep. So can Apostle Paul come and say, beloved, get up, run the race? No. Apostle Paul will say, beloved, you are running the race. Why? God asked you to rest and you obeyed. When you obey the word of God, you run the race. Every time you remember, Jesus Christ rebuked Peter, James, John. Why are you sleeping, you lazy fellows? We remember that. But we totally forget the fact that the Lord himself told them, you sleep now. You rest now. He said this immediately after rebuking them for three times. The fourth time the Lord said, you sleep now, because the Son of Man is going to be sacrificed for you. The hour has come. You rest now because you are going to be restless for the next 3 days until you see my face. He said this implicitly, you sleep now, take some rest. But he was scolding them for sleeping. But he commanded them to sleep. Time. When he prayed, he told them to be watchful. When he finished the prayer, he says, go to rest. On Calvary, the Lord says, it is finished. Be of good cheer. I have overcome all. If you go and tell the Lord, I don't know how we are going to save the world. The Lord says, it is finished. Lord, you don't know, Lord. When the Lord tells us to rest, we go crazy, run somewhere, hit on the wall. When the Lord tells us to run, we go to sleep. We do everything upside down because of the influence of the adversity. That is exactly what he is called to do so. Misplacing, deprioritizing, placing a mirror in front, you get confused with the left to right, right to left, isn't it? I will say right, but for you it is left. Am I right? Because they are facing opposite direction. A simple misunderstanding. I'm saying that this is my right, this is my left. Oh, this brother is wrong. Which side we are looking at? Now look at the way the scripture ends. It says, for thou shalt rest. This is the book of Daniel. Walketh, cometh, rest. For thou shalt rest. The Lord says, you are going to die, but die in a way I can tell about you. Daniel, my son, rested with his fathers. David, my son, rested with his fathers. Solomon, my son, rested with his fathers. The Lord is aligning. The Lord is aligning the seed after seed after seed to say you should be in a line. If it is going to be a line, the whole book of Daniel must end with a strong commandment. Stand in thy lot at the end of the days. So, we thank the Lord for giving us the title of the last sermon. Stand in thy lot. Lord, how about someone's lot? Thy lot. Stand in your position, Daniel. Stand in thy lot. God tells Moses, keep your hands outstretched. You think I'm weak? The Lord tells Moses, I will make you weak by placing burden that is beyond your measure. He places Aaron on one side, her on other side. And they keep the hands outstretched. And Joshua is overcoming the Amalekites. Battle is going on. Now Aaron says, you know what? I'm a left-handed person. How about we switch? We swap the positions. Oh, I'm a right-handed person. You're right. God is wrong. Let's swap the position. We can do a better job. Stand in thy lot. What is lot? Remember how Matthias was chosen? By casting lot? That's a different lot. And here the Lord says, where I planted you, you grow and be fruitful. Lord, you know I'm a Jew. I look at my passport, it says, I live in Babylon. My name is Belteshazzar. Lord, I don't want this passport. I want to go back to Jerusalem. The old name Daniel. The Lord says, stand in thy lot and die. Live and die where you have been planted by the life himself, the creator. Stand in thy lot. Not near. Not at. In. That is why the sermon title series has been always discernment in God's righteousness. Stand in thy lot. These two letters, if I change it to something else, it's completely against what the Lord said. In thy lot. Now let's keep this in your mind. And now read verse 2 and verse 3, same chapter. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn away to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So wherever you read the word stars, Abraham should be reminded to your mind. Because God spoke about stars to Abraham, and also he spoke about the sand in the seashore to Abraham. Both these words Daniel speaks in the very last chapter. Now let's think about it. The book of Daniel is favorite for many theologians to go and study history, to decode all the interpretations, everything, and try to align everything to what's happening now, to the Middle East, or what may happen in the future, because it gives you interesting, you know, feeling, excitement. Good. But the entire book of Daniel, you know what it is mainly pointing to? You know the fruit of the book of Daniel? Chapter 11, 4 verses. That's it. This is book of Daniel. Remember this for you, for the bride of Christ. For those who seek worldly knowledge, it is 12 chapters. But for the bride of Christ, those 4 verses and the last verse. Now let's turn to chapter 11, verse 31. Now, chapter 11 talks about the king of the north, the king of the south, what happened between them, all those things. We will go there as the Lord leads when the time comes. That is watching seasons, but now we are denying ourselves, decked ourselves as a bride. Verse 31 says, and arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. What is sanctuary of strength? Continue, they shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Daily sacrifice, I just read the word in the last chapter of Daniel. Now, verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. Never ever forget the word flatteries in your life. Sweet attitude. So sweet, so peaceful, so joyful, so kind, to the point where we're better than Jesus Christ. Wow. What a lovely, lovely character. That is how going to be the final fall and deception of this world. The one who is going to take over is not the man of war, he's a man of peace. Am I right? Which peace? Woe unto them who say peace when there is no peace. That peace. Woe unto the one who gives sweet for bitter, bitter for sweet, call light for darkness, call darkness for light. Isaiah 5:20. That peace. Complete opposite. But what is the fruit of the Lord allowed the book of Daniel to be recorded? Look at the next verse. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So those who glorify the name of the Lord, those who hold on to the wisdom, the counsel, the discernment of God's righteousness, they will do some exploits, which means they will withstand, they will endure, they will do something to delay the destruction, delay the damage. The word delay is actually withstanding for the God's grace to continue. But you know what? These people are not the victorious people. Look at what happens the next. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, that is, light shining to one another, edifying, encouraging one another, bearing your burdens with one another, that is, spreading the truth. But yet they shall fall by the sword. Yet they shall fall by the sword. In the Old Testament itself, there are glimpses of Stephen testimonies, but people did not see it clearly. Because in the Old Testament, people of God would not fail. David never failed. Moses never failed. When I say fail, nobody could kill them, overpower them. They were indispensables. Joshua, nobody can touch him. But the Lord spoke these words in the Old Testament itself concerning how the end shall be. When you are willing to perish, then there is life, because you have given up everything for the Lord. So when they were holding on to understanding of who is the Holy One, they were instructing, that is, the work of the Lord is being manifested in the children of God. But look at the next verse. By flame, by captivity, and by spoil, many days. And Gabriel tells Daniel, consider the vision, for it shall be for many days. Now verse 34, now when they shall fall, they shall holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. You see, the word of the Lord is always double-edged sword. Amen? Whenever the Lord speaks about what may happen to evil people, if you see the same thing on the mirror of the scripture, you will see what the good people should do. And when the Lord speaks about what the good people shall do, you see in the mirror of the scripture, on the opposite side, you can see what the bad people may fall into that violation. Because it's a double-edged sword. Book of Revelation, apostles who are slain, they cry for the Lord's vengeance, which is judgment, upon the righteous blood that was shed upon the earth. Amen? So you think that they won't take revenge? No. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual wickedness of high places. Now, understanding what the Lord wants from your life is very important for you to hold on to your faith, for you to keep your salvation, and for you to carry your cross and keep following Him. In the last few months, there are several times I intentionally mentioned some names. For instance, Book of Zechariah, the vision of High Priest Joshua is presented. But if you look at the same vision from the perspective of Joshua, the leader of Israel, you will see how the Lord deals with His servants. There are two Phinehas, one who threw spear, and the Lord glorified him. And there was one more Phinehas who died in the battle. Isn't it? Same name, but two different results. And there are many Christ going to come. Everyone is anointed, but different anointing. Apostle Paul warns, Apostle Peter warns. Why? Discernment in God's righteousness will be replaced by discernment in doctrines, discernment in knowledge, discernment in mercy, discernment in love. It is going to flip the right to the left, left to the right. And the Lord says, Daniel, stand in thy lot. When Moses positioned the tribes of Israel, Levites were at the center. Amen? I showed you the picture last time. And he positioned three groups per direction, north, east, west. To type the gates of Jerusalem, each east gate, west gate, north gate, south gate, each gate will have three gates. Amen? Everything is type and shadow. Now, can the Levite say, I am also a tribe of Israel, I will go and take my position in some other direction? Then, at the center, there is no tribe. And God tells all of us, I look down for a man to stand in the gap, and I see no one. What the Levites represents, who are positioned at the center, in the wilderness, they were not counted among the tribes. Amen? When the inheritance was divided, Levites were not counted, because the Lord said, I am their inheritance. Now, let us continue from here, and may the Lord guide us. If I dwell deep into book of Daniel chapter 11, it itself will go on a series. So I'm going to keep it very high level, just to see what we should see. The whole chapter talks about the kings of the world, what they are going to do. But there are some key verses that I want us to read. Without interpreting, without decoding, don't think about history. But think about something that can happen to you. Because the Lord says, Joshua, be strong, be bold, be courageous. Don't turn to the right, north, don't turn to the left, south, don't turn. Keep your eyes straight on the author of salvation. Like, stand in thy lot. Amen. Now let's read few verses in 11 so that we continue the sermon with stirred up heart. Chapter 11, verse 13.
For the king of the north shall return and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, shall certainly come after certain years with a great army with much riches. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. Whoever exalt themselves to establish a vision, and the Lord says they will all fall. Why? The vision is established by the one who gives the vision. And Gabriel tells Daniel, seal them, shut up the words, consider the vision is for many days. Long suffering, many days. Tribulation, many days. The blindness of Jews, many days. The grace of Gentiles, many days. But the Lord is doing everything at the same time. Amen? Now, the word many days should always remind you to be patient. Because the book of Daniel finishes by saying, blessed is he who waited. How come a child of God can live in Babylon for 70 years or so and live through different kings and did not forsake his faith? Did not do anything beyond what God asked him to do so? Was he baptizing people in Babylon? Was he going to preach about God to all the people in Babylon? They'll kill him. Daniel knew the assignment. I should be harmless as dove, wise as serpent, to finish my race. And the Lord knows how to make it fruitful. Even if Stephen was alive for 120 years, the life of Stephen spoke sermons much more than what he could himself spoke. Am I right? The Lord took him so early. But the testimony of Stephen is an edification, encouragement the devil cannot even touch. And people, they find encouragement, they see Christ in him. But he lived so short. What we think is not what the Lord thinks. But he knows how to make you profitable. Amen? Now, king of the north shall return. The adversity will always take an attempt. As the children of God grow in faith. Amen? Now, verse 15 says, the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount and take the most fenced cities, which is heavily guarded territories. He will take it up. He will just invade. Just like that. Like Sennacherib, who was attacking heavily defended cities. You know why? As a king, you should be wise. You don't hunt down a city where there is no treasure. But the one who will put defense territory is the one who has treasure inside. And Sennacherib will give command to Rabshakeh, go and search. Is there any city that is fenced? Then go and hunt them. Because there is, safe inside. Treasure is inside. And the Lord called all of us, I am thy exceedingly great reward. When we receive him, there is a wall of fire around us. And there is a seal of the Holy Ghost. And the enemy knows who is holding the treasure. He can't touch the treasure. Because the treasure is the Lord himself. But he can make you to go unfaithful. He can deceive you to go filled with unbelief and say, I forsake the treasure. Why? Devil can't touch the narrow path. Amen? Book of Isaiah says, the way of holiness, beast shall not enter therein. But you can walk into beast straight. Like what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He became like a beast. But he was in a royal estate. How he survived? What he said? My understanding returned unto me. The glory of the Lord should always return to the tabernacle of God. The mind of Christ should always be in the bride of Christ. Amen? If I lose it, I will go and eat the serpent in nature. I will go and eat the food of the beast, which is the lust of the world. Now, king of the north, introduction is good. Too much hype. Verse 16, but that cometh against him shall do according to his own will. Own will means you worship your free will. And none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land. What? He shall land and stand in the glorious land. And God tells Daniel, stand in thy lot. Now answer me, what is glorious land for you? Like what the world thinks today? This square meter, glorious land of the Lord. What about the heart?
Oh, brother, don't be so emotional. Oh.
What Jeremiah said, go to Chaldeans, live.
What the people said, this is our glorious land. They were killed on the spot.
Now, there he will stand in the glorious land. What is glorious land? It can be anything which has a glory of man or the glory of the Lord. But depends on who please who grieve who. Amen? Because there are different glory.
Job said, my glory was fresh. Then it's gone.
And God says, I won't give my glory to anyone. It's my glory. Amen? Now continue by saying verse 17. And verse 17 says, verse 16 by ends, which by his hand shall be consumed. Now, let us read verse 19. Then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not to be found. What? He will stumble and fall and not to be found. Disappear. And why he disappeared? If he disappear, what comes next? I just want you to look at all of this from the perspective of adversity that can come against the different city of your heart as a child of God. Verse 20, then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. So one stumbled and fell, the other one not in anger, not in battle, but simply destroyed. What is happening here? Why chapter 11 is one of the most debated chapters, you know, in the Bible? Because it triggers your curiosity. What is it? Who is this guy? Who? But we don't see anything. Is there anything for me? Me. It's always you. Who? Not me. Self-realization has been stolen from the mind of people because of the attitude of gossip, peeking into the windows of someone to see what's happening there. That is social media today. Looking at what's happening around. Are you sad today? Why are you sad today? But we don't think about why I am sad today. The perception of the world has gone completely third person. There is no in-person self-examination. It's gone. Why? Criticism has become the biggest business today. The one who creates an inversion, he earns, let's say, one talent. The one who reviews about that invention, he earns 10 talent. Hey, people pay for it. That is the success of social media and another Babylon. Now keep this in your mind. Look at the next verse. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, not a good person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably, obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brother, what is the relationship with this and who we are today? A wild person enters the kingdom, but he could not get the honor. So he takes another approach, comes in peace. Makes peace with flatteries. With flatteries. Why the word flatteries coming again and again? In the King James Version, you will see the word forecasting devices and intelligence in this chapter, throughout the chapter. How the north, the king of the north, king of the south, they assembled their council, they were forecasting what may happen. That is planning, presuming, predicting, and they had their own wise counsel, so-called wise counsel. Now, the next verse is verse 21. Verse 21 we have read. Verse 22, yes. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. Now, sanctuary of the strength, glorious land, prince of the covenant are the words that we have read so far. Amen. Now, let us read verse 23. After the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. After the league made with him. Now, this is the work of the wickedness, which is come to the hearts of people in peace with loving words, kindness, flattery words. After the league is ready, after he got what he want, then the true nature will be exposed. The true color will be exposed. Now, as a bride of Jesus Christ, do we have the discernment today? Brother, it's about Israel and other enemies. Why should I care? Why should I care? What I'm reading now, I'm going to read the same verses in the same sequence from Book of Acts and from 2 Peter. Then you would understand what Daniel said, Apostle Paul said. What Daniel said, Apostle Peter said. But with a different context. But same pattern. Now, before we continue chapter 11, I want us to go to Book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Now remember how the Lord was working in the life of Daniel. And look at what happens here. Chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Reproved. What I will answer when I am reproved. What is this reproving? The vessel says, I can't answer until I am reproved. If you remember how the Lord commissioned Isaiah into ministry, he waited for Isaiah to say, I'm a man of unclean lips, I am undone. And the Lord touched him, healed him. Then the Lord says, oh no, whom shall I send? If you are in that situation, you are like, Lord, what are you doing? You can just tell him straight into his face that, can I send you? But why the Lord said after this, whom shall I send? And Isaiah says, send me, Lord. Has the Lord ever forced you to love him? Has he ever forced you to serve him? Has he ever forced you to witness about him? Ever? What he says, who will love me? Lord, I love you, Lord. Who I can trust? Lord, trust me, Lord. I'm an unfaithful person, but trust me, Lord, the Lord who is in me. Whom shall I place the burden? Lord, place upon me, O Lord. That self-denial, that willingness is what you see between God and Prophet Isaiah. Amen? Because he said, whom shall I send? He did not say, I'm going to send you. Even to Moses, his petition was accepted when Moses refused. I'm a man of stuttered lips. I can't speak well. And God was angry, but yet he did not heal him. Can't he heal him? To make him eloquent? Did he heal him? No. Let it be as you say. Aaron, are you there? Come. They hug each other, kiss each other. Kiss of love, kiss of fellowship, kiss of friendship. Now, in the chapter 2 of what we are reading in Habakkuk, look at verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Make it plain. Don't make it like an encrypted, too complicated, puzzle. Make it plain. The one who is hungry, the one who is thirsty, he will see it. The one who humbles himself, the one who seeks the Lord's face sincerely, diligently, humbly, he will see it. Because the truth of God is simple, plain. Not a knowledge to study for years to understand, but an experience to receive it in a moment. Amen. Now, he says, verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now remember what God spoke to Daniel in the last chapter through his vessel. Blessed is he who waiteth. Blessed is he who resteth. Blessed is he who cometh. And blessed is he who stand in thy lot. Moses worshipped the Lord And all the people of God, people of Israel, the Bible says they stood at the door of the tent and worshiped the Lord. Do you know what it means? Stand in thy Lord. And may the Lord reveal more as we continue today. Verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but he, the just shall live by his faith. Lifted me from the miry clay, and the Lord lift up my head. The Lord lift up my head. Last Sunday, I showed the word that was two extreme state. Once, Job says, my glory was fresh in me, was fresh, which means it is not fresh anymore. The Lord took it. I have no glory. And the Lord says, oh, the diadem of beauty, the crown of pride, I will bring it low down to the ground. Oh, the highest cedar of Lebanon, I will bring it low down to the ground. Oh, your glory, I will bring it down to the ground. And the three friends of Job, whom the Lord placed a trap for them to fall, and the trap is called Job himself. Now, Daniel had how many friends? Three. Job had how many friends? Three. Noah had how many sons? Three. At the end, when the Lord restored the life of Job, how many daughters Job had? Three. What is these three, brother? And that is going to be the focus of today's sermon, which we have been waiting to meditate as the last part, so we bring all together. Now let us turn your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 10. Now remember what the Lord commanded Daniel. Now let's come to 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 10. Now here, God is sending a message to David, like Daniel, how he received the message. I will read a few verses that is important for today. Look at verse 10. Remember the title, Stand in Thy Lot. Verse 10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them. What is planting? The Lord shows what is your lot. Planting, grounded, because a plant cannot move. Spiritually, that they may dwell in a place of their own, in thy, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. You know, God is passing a message to David, through who? Nathan. Similar to how God passing message to Daniel through Gabriel. Because the one who received the message cannot be the same who passed the message. Can I tell myself, oh, the Lord is giving you a message. Oh, what it is? This is a message. Oh, I received it. Please. The Lord says, if I bear my own testimony, it profiteth nothing. Amen. There is always the one who giveth and there is one who receiveth. Now, David is on the receiving side. Nathan is on the giving side. Like Gabriel to Daniel, also Gabriel to Joseph and Gabriel to Mary, giving, receiving. Now, verse 11 says, and as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, and also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord says, I will make thee an house. Lord, I'm a good builder. I will make thee an house. The builder of the mansions where we shall dwell in. What God promised to Abraham. Now David is listening to all of this. House, okay. Rest, okay. Enemies, okay. Most importantly, planting. Now look at the next verse. And when the days be fulfilled, which is the end of the days. When thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you truly want to understand what is stand in thy lot, remember, we should live and die, and the Lord should be able to say, sleep with thy fathers. forefathers, patriarchs, apostles, servants of God. No, those are all shadow. But pointing all the way to those who sleep with Christ will rise with Christ, because He died for you and we die for Him. Now, Book of Daniel also brought two other important words, which is wait, rest until the end of the days. Amen? Which is the end of the days for you? The end of the world or the end of your life? How the Lord deals with every one of us, as a whole or as a person? As a person, one by one. Now, the verse continues by saying, verse 13, He shall build an house for my name. Or verse 12, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of the bowels. I will establish his kingdom. Now answer me, who is the seed? In earthly kingdom, it represents Solomon. But in heavenly kingdom, it represents the line of Judah, the one who is wiser than Solomon, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But that verse represents both, as it is in heaven, as it is on earth. Amen? Now, when the Lord speaks to this, now think about it. Bathsheba was not even introduced yet. Surprise. And David has not yet committed the mistake yet. Surprise. But the Lord speaks about Solomon now. In chapter 7, I will establish thy seed. So what is happening here? Now when David hears this, what he will think? Because he don't know Bathsheba yet. He hasn't encountered the repentance of killing Uriah yet. Why we are traveling in this direction? What is God's counsel to you? Now Nathan speaks this and David is listening to all of this. And verse 13 says, He shall build an house for my name and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. But what Solomon built was destroyed. That is where we are reading Nebuchadnezzar. It was destroyed, not once, several times. The temple of Jerusalem was destroyed. The walls were destroyed. Even in 70 AD, also destroyed. Even after the repair of Herod, it was destroyed. So which one the Lord is speaking about? Forever means we know already. It's very easy, brother. The Lord himself who said, I will raise this temple, rebuild this in 3 days. But how it benefits you? How it benefits your preparation? Next verse. I will be his father. He shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men. Now tell me which verse is representing to Christ. Hello? Hello, wake up. It's not representing Christ. Now it is going to Solomon. Who will chasten Christ? Christ chasten you. Because the Lord chastened Solomon. He worshipped Ashtaroth. Verse 14 talks about the earthly king of wisdom. Am I right? Now it says, I will chasten him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the children of men. Verse 15. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is it possible God can take the mercy away from thee? The Lord says, yes, I did to Saul. Now you understand why Saul was restless, filled with disquietness. He needed the music session of David. David comes and plays songman. I feel so tired. But the Lord tells it plain. He can take the mercy from your lot. But the promise is mercy depart not. That is where you shall stand. That is your lot. And the Lord tells David, that mercy shall not depart you. And he says, verse 16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. That is pointing to the line of Judah. The word forever doesn't belong to you and me. We are in vanity. Amen. The Lord, who is the only one who can take you into eternity forever. Verse 17 is beautiful because that is where you see the position of Nathan. According to all these words, according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. According to all the vision, God told Daniel, seal it up, shut it up. not more, not less. Because a vision can be flavored by the deceitful thoughts of men, ambition of men, curiosity of men, imagination of men, illusion of men. And the Lord says, as it is. Now, sleeping with the fathers. Now, if we remember this word, whoever lived and died before us, who keep on past the light of the Savior, truth of the Lord, lived sacrificial life, one generation after another, they are all resting to be awakened to glory. Amen? So there is a line, there is a cue. And when we live and die, and the Lord says, you go and sleep with the fathers, go and stand in this line. When the Lord calls all of us awake, come to everlasting glory, joy, come to everlasting shame, contempt, and which Lord? The Lord was crucified. There are two sides to him. One was taken to paradise. One was judged on earth as he wanted to be, because he mocked the word of God. Two sides. The Lord was near to them. Same distance. One side, he was showing the face of life. One side, he hideth his face. Now, let us continue how this will bless us to reflect where we fall. You know where we all fall? Counsel. What is counsel? Why? I have been reading Book of Job for all the 11 parts of the Sunday sermons, along with Book of Daniel. Why? How do you read Book of Job? Three people came, complained about Job. Fourth one came, complained about everyone. God came, complained about Job. And they all find a peace and everything is good. Farewell. Oh, a nice movie. Is it how you read Book of Job? How you read Book of Daniel? Nebuchadnezzar gave a timeline to kill all the wise men. Daniel ran to his house, met his three friends and told them, let's pray, man. Something is up against us. Let's pray. And the three friends of Daniel and the four of them became one in spirit and they prayed. And the Lord revealed the purpose to Daniel and they escaped from the death penalty. Were they four different creatures or one single united creation of God? In the house, Daniel ran to find them. In the fiery furnace, the Son of Man was walking with them and he found them. There are two places, the three friends of Daniel, they had a company. One, Daniel himself prayed together in the spirit of God. Amen? That is house of God. And two, the fiery furnace, they also had a visitor. But Nebuchadnezzar says, that looks like a Son of Man. A Son of God appearance. Nebuchadnezzar said that. So they had unity of faith. They were walking together as one in the furnace. They were not walking in four different directions, but walking like how a sheep will follow a shepherd. Now, counsel is where children of God fall. That is why the entire book of Psalm begins with the warning of not saying, blessed is he who walketh into the counsel of God. Then everybody will go and walk into the counsel of God, thinking it is the counsel of God. But David starts by saying, blessed is he who walketh not in the counsel of ungodly. Which means he says, it's a warning, we fall. Now, three friends of Daniel and three friends of Job. It is how we are going to finish the last sermon today. And three friends of Jesus Christ. Peter, James, John on one side and Jesus himself. Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. Three friends of Daniel on one side. Job, Eliphaz, Zophra and Bilad. Three friends of Job on one side. Anyone remember the names of the daughters of Job? Jemima, Keziah and Keren Hapuk. Three daughters of Job on one side. And three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth of Noah on one side. Now let us see which council comes victorious. Korah, Dathan, Abiram against Moses on one side. That is also a council, isn't it? So before I read scripture, let us go through different combinations, different group of a person with three. And let us simply glance through the scripture, which I will show, because if I read all the verses, then we will stay the whole day. So let me show the image first before we go into the verses. So may the Lord guide us. As I show, I want all of us to reflect. Why the Bible says, in the multitude of counselors of God, there is safety. Why the Lord said that? The heart prepared for the battle, amen? But the safety is of the Lord, amen? But the Bible also says there is safety in the multitude of counselors. What are these counselors? Who are the counselors? Now let's go. When I show, let us all stir up our hearts. Because I intentionally place everything in different weird sequence so that you don't see anything, everything in pattern. Amen? So let's go start from one by one. So three friends of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah. But we always remember them as Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. But we don't call Daniel as Belteshazzar. I have told you because our mind is tuned to their names when the testimony of God was glorified. That is why the moment we remember Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, they were Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the fiery furnace. But Daniel, although he was called Belteshazzar, you are unable to call Belteshazzar because Gabriel was calling him Daniel, Daniel. The Lord was calling him Daniel, Daniel. So because of that, our mind is automatically tuned to call him as Daniel. And the friends of Daniel as Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But we call them as the same Jewish names. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. Now, Yahweh is gracious. And the Lord is who he is. And God is my present help. Book of Daniel says they received a little help. And the adversary did not receive any help. That is how the chapter 11 ends. Do you know? Now remember this, these three friends of Daniel, did they do anything against God? Nay. Did they grieve God? Nay. Did they deceive one another? Nay. Did they do anything to go fall together? Nay. A perfect, beautiful example of God's counsel. Amen? Pray together, overcome together. Now answer me, what happened to the three friends of Daniel? Anyone remembers? Because it is not written. Why do you care? What is it to you? I want to know how they died. What is it to you? The Lord knows what to show, what not to show. Amen? The three vessels of the Lord's blessing upon Daniel's life, they prayed together, they counseled together as one. And the Lord spoke through the mouth of Daniel as one. He revealed the vision to Daniel as one. Amen? Now let us look at the next one. The three friends of Job. If you look at the way they appear in the book, it's very, very beautiful. The Lord introduced them in chapter 2 and 3, but it is in chapter 4 they start speaking one by one. Everyone takes their share to speak. Eliphaz speaks first. After that, Bildad speaks. Then Zophar, they go on another turn, round 2. Before finally, Elihu comes. Amen? We are not meditating on the book of Job, so I won't go into detail, but everybody knows the story very, you know, in a high level. But let us see what exactly the story is warning us. Now, chapter 4, 5, 15, 22, Eliphaz was given a place to speak. He spoke. If you have read what he spoke, every single verse is beautiful as it is, but God rebuked him for the context in what he spoke. Bildad spoke, chapter 8, verse 18, 25. You can see there's a gap. Every time one vessel speaks, Job was given a chance to react, respond. To some, Job accepted. To some, Job rejected. You know what does it mean? If I have three friends, and all three friends named Joab, Ashael, and Abishag, let's say. And I discuss with them, let's kill the Uriah man. And they all say, good. We also prayed about it. The Lord moved all of us in one spirit, let's kill Uriah. then all four as one. And David says, Joab, you are the good executor. Just go and kill him. Now Joab, go and kill him. And God comes and tells David, I judge you. Now David says, no, I didn't kill Joab. I didn't kill Uriah. I'm the mastermind. I'm just a brain of Joab. I was not the one who touched or killed Uriah. The Lord says, I judge you first. You know, when the one who commits a mistake, usually is a victim. Is the one who provoked him to do that mistake is the criminal. Am I right? If you look at the way government deal with police cases, the one who plants the murders is worse than the murderers. The one who plants the division is more worse than the divination itself. Why? You counsel, establish your thought. You know exactly what you're doing. When the Lord introduced the three friends of Job, the Bible says Job and three friends. Amen. You know how the book of Job ends? Eliphaz and two friends. Hey, what happened to Job? And the Lord says, I circumcise the fleshful counseling of your fleshful friends who are speaking as if they are inside of you. The Eliphaz who is in me, the Bildad who is in me, the Zophar who is in me, the Joab who is in me, the Abishag who is in me, and David says, nay. How God counsels? How God counsels? If three of us plan to steal something from the bank, no matter whoever is the master planner, whoever is the executor, all three will go to the jail. Because we agreed as one, did the work as one, and the Lord judges as one. People fall in counsel. Counsel of flesh is the uncovering exposure of most part of book of Job. But if you take the verse one by one, they did not say anything wrong. But if you put them together, it passed a wrong message. It provoked Job to keep on going in the wrong direction. And the Lord came and revealed something. We will go there. Now remember these three names. There are no accurate meaning of these names, but some important meaning that just for inspiration is Eliphaz means, El means Elohim. Eliphaz means pure gold, like topaz. God is fine pure gold, and representing strength of royalty as well. And Bildad means Bel has Lord. But the word Bel means not the Babylonian God, because Bel, the word as it is, it means Lord has Lord, or the beloved of the Lord. And Zophar means chipper or leaper, or one who peeps, passing message or always making some noise. Simple inspiration about the meaning of their names. At the end, the Lord gave three daughters to Job. Not just three, seven sons and three daughters to Job. But the Lord was speaking about the three daughters. You know how beautiful they are. There was no one like my daughters in that land. And the meaning of those names, there are different meanings like Dao, but I like these names. Brightness of the light, fragrance of the beauty, or radiance of, the eye. Some different inspiration of the daughters of Job. Now, Job had three daughters after the Lord completed dealing with him. And Job had three friends during the process of the Lord's dealing. Amen? Now, let's keep this and stop here. Job 42 verse 7. Remember the three friends of Daniel as we meditate on this one by one. Chapter 42. I will read from verse 5. Job 42 verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And the declaration of Job comes as repentant, and he says, I repent. When he says repent, verse 7, the Father in heaven, who is always merciful to the cry of his children, And verse 7 says, and it was so. It means, because it happened and it was so, the Lord had spoken these words unto Job. What the Lord should say, I forgive you, Job, I love you, Job. No, the Lord went straight to Eliphaz first. He says, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee. Hello? There are two more. Oh, wait. And against thy two friends. Oh, thank God. I thought they escaped from me. But Eliphaz had three friends. Bildad, Zophar, and Job. And the Lord says, you and your two friends. How about Job? He's a victim in this case. Why Job was removed? Is it how they were addressed? Now it says, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job had said. But Job was rebuked for two chapters. The Lord rebuked him as well. Because Job did not say the right thing. But the Lord said Job said the right thing. Then what the Lord heard, which the Lord ignored. Job said so many things wrong in the book of Job. That is why the Lord rebuked him, isn't it? But the Lord did not speak until Elihu finished speaking. Then who is Elihu? Why he escaped from the entire chapter of rebuke? Now, may the Lord guide us as we continue to meditate in his word. The Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen. And we all know the biggest enemy of your life is you yourself, isn't it? You are the only one who can destroy your salvation. You are the only one. And you are influenced by your friendship or enmity, by holy counsel or by unholy counsel. Because without your knowledge, you may become one of them. You will just be one. As how the Lord said, I am in you, you are in me, we are one. I always meditate the book of Job in a completely different context. The Eliphaz of Job, the Zophar of Job, the Bildad of Job. Then I change the name to the Eliphaz of Prasanna, the Bildad of Prasanna, the Zophar of Prasanna, and the God who is inside me as the vessel of the Lord. Then you see the whole scripture in a way to come and slap you on the face. Why? You fall into the double-edged sword of the Lord. Prunes you. And helps you to reach perfection. Now, when the Lord says all of this, did he destroy them? No. Did he kill them? No. Because tell me who is your friend and I tell you who you are. Am I right? Because you would not become friend if you don't agree together as one. If not, you are called colleague or neighbor. But the Lord says, love thy neighbor because I am your friend. I make you friends in Christ. If you make your own friends, you will fall with your friends, bad consequences, isn't it? Choose your friend wisely. And the Lord speaks by saying, you have said everything right, but not in the context of what I wanted to pass to my son. Context is where people fall. We all fell in context. What is context? If you take the verse as it is, Eliphaz says, when the glory of the Lord comes before Ezekiel, for example, Ezekiel fell to the ground, he cannot stand up, the Spirit of the Lord entered into him, he stood up. Amen? How many of you remember the story of Samson? Judges chapter 16. Let's turn our Bible. Judges chapter 16. You see the friendship of Samson with Delilah. And the Bible says, man and woman, if they married, they shall be one in flesh. Amen? What was Delilah was doing to take away the conforming character of Samson from God's glory, and she was luring him to conform with her. And she did not do it in one attempt. She was doing it over and over and over and over again, and she got it. Why? Samson did not run away from her. He chose to sleep with her. Chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. Let us read this as the Lord reminds my heart. Now let's read from verse 6, chapter 16. Let's read only a few verses so that we get the sense of it. Yes. Let us read from verse 18. And when Delia saw that he had thrown her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of Philistines, saying, "Come up this once," and he has shewed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. She caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. If Samson stood in his lot, Delia would not be near to him. Then she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. Good morning." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other time before. I will shake myself," and the wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Awakened in glory and awakened not in glory. Whenever Samson awakened in glory, the bands of the enemy could not stay upon him. Amen. But the day when the glory left, the hair that ties the glory of God upon Samson, when she shaved it off, even if the Spirit of God passed by, there is no hair to stand up, because it was shaved from Samson's life. When he stand up, his glory stood up, but God's glory left him. Because of that, the enemy overpowered him. Amen? And Job says, "My glory was fresh yesterday." And Samson says, same. "My glory was fresh yesterday. I lost it. But was it the end of it?" The Bible says, the hair started growing in Samson again. Why? The Lord is merciful. He will let you be restored if you repent and accept what you did. Now the glory of the Lord stood before watchmen. And the glory of the Lord blessed watchmen to stand up. And the Lord called all of the children to be upright in righteousness in spirit. Amen. So let's remember this and continue. Go back to what we were reading. Let's continue from there. Now, can you please show the image again? The next slide. We were in Book of Job. We will continue there. Now let us look again from where we left. Now let me complete the other set of combinations of 3. When I say combinations, there is a reason why the book of Daniel ends by saying, "Stand in thy lot, wait and rest." Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, when God tells Moses, "The victory of Israel is at stake, so keep your hand outstretched like me, and I will place Aaron and Hur like how the 2 anointed olive trees in my kingdom, and let them carry your burden, so that you don't think that you are the only one who can do it." And Aaron and Hur, they stood as 2 witnesses to what Moses was doing. But above the 3 of them, that was God who was on the mountain. Amen. Let me call it as the mountain of prayer. Now the next one. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord was praying. Amen. But Peter, James, John, they were sleeping. Now, let us look at this from a different perspective. What if Peter, James and John were not sleeping and completely awake and very active? They would have troubled him from praying, because that is who Peter is. I will show you later. The Lord warned them that you are sleeping because he knows their weaknesses. He did. But they slept because they could not overcome their weakness, because the power of the Holy Ghost was not given to them. Now, what Jesus prayed, nobody knows, because the 3 were asleep. Then who recorded this? When the Lord said, "Take this cup away from me, not according to what I say, but according to your will," who heard this if they were all sleeping? Now, let's continue. The same Peter, James, John, they were in the house when the Lord bring a dead child to life. Amen. And the same Peter, James and John, they were on the Mount of Transfiguration when the Lord transformed before their sight. Now look at the next. In the Mount of Transfiguration, we know Peter, James, John, they were in flesh. They witnessed that glorious event. But let us look at this from heavenly perspective. Father in heaven, God who is spirit, who alone is perfect, he sent Elias and Moses to fellowship with the Lord who transfigured in the mountain. Now Jesus and Elias and Moses. On the other side, Moses, Aaron and Hur. So in this entire three councils, which council failed miserably? Peter, James, John. Am I right? Not just in Garden of Gethsemane, but also in the Mount of Transfiguration. Do you remember what they said? Lord, you didn't tell me my forefather Elias, Moses coming. Let me make three tabernacles. If I am Peter, if you are all Peter, you have witnessed the glorious appearance of the Lord transfiguring in front of your eyes with Elias and Moses. And when the Lord crucified, they ran away from him. How come? How come they totally forgot what they witnessed on the Mount of Transfiguration? If Elias, Moses standing with Christ, if Peter says he could recognize them, make three tabernacles, if Peter says all of the stuff, when he was arrested, he denied him three times. Not once, not twice, three times he denied. Why? Where Peter was counseling when he denied Christ? Peter with Peter once, Peter with Peter twice, Peter with Peter thrice. Correct? Self-counseling is self-destruction. Now let's go to the next one. King David had three mighty soldiers. Joab, I can speak good about him. I can also speak bad about him. That is who Joab is. He is not an evil man. He is extremely loyal to the fact that he could not see the will of God. Absolutely dutiful. You know, dutiful. Focus on duty, forget about beauty. What is beauty? Conforming to the image of Christ. Joab was helping David when Absalom rebelled against him. Amen? So Joab is a good man, right? Look at Joab, man. Everybody betrayed David. Look at Joab. What a fantastic man. Few days later, Joab killed Absalom. Oh, violent man. But David said, don't kill my son, spare him. Overly righteous. But Joab served David. But his servanthood was rewarded by a death penalty from King Solomon. Never, ever forget that. Who killed Joab? Benaniah. Who is Benaniah? Another mighty soldier, also same as Joab, but never did anything against the commandment of king. He was glorified as a mighty man of valor. Benaniah, son of Jehoiada. Now Joab, Abishael. You know, Asahel was killed by Abner. But Abner said, don't run behind me, I have to kill you. And Asahel said, I'm a good runner, kill me if you can. And he killed him. And because Abner killed Asahel, Joab killed Abner. Did he get permission from David? Who are you to take permission? My brother is killed, I will take my own revenge. But David made peace with Abner. If you kill a person who made peace with the king, then you are completely influenced by the adversity. Joab's killing intent of Absalom was not new because he killed Abner in the first place. He will kill many Absaloms in the future also. Now, this group is an evil counsel to David. They even recommended him, how about we kill Shimei? He is missing from a checklist. Let's kill him. And David says, sons of Zeruiah. Who is Zeruiah? A sister, as per the history. So which means they are all nephews to David. Am I correct? Now answer me. Why the three sons of Zeruiah were not addressed by the father's name but by mother's name? Think. Have you ever seen the scripture addressed the servants of God by the mother's name? It says son of Adam, son of Abraham. Not to suppress, but to point the Father in heaven and to point how Adam was created and how Eve was created. Am I right? But why David says son of Zeruiah? Because Zeruiah is a sister, not just because of that. There was a reason the father name was not honored by these three sons. Son honoreth the father. Amen? If you see the way when Jezebel was at peak, Athaliah was at peak, Herodias was at peak, they were dominating where they were. And that domination did not profit anything. It only opened the doors of their own destruction. Look at the next. King David with another three sets of friends. Barzillai, 80-year-old wise man, who passed the blessing to Chimham, which is also pronounced as Kimham in different translation, which means nearness of Yah, that is Ittai. Kimham means earning, pining, long desire. Barzillai means iron of Yah, strength of Yah. And Barzillai, Ittai, Benaniah, this group, did they do any evil to David? Did they provoke David to do some evil things? No. Barzillai was kissed by David. Do you remember? David kissed Barzillai to bless him and send him home. Because David was so happy with his life. Judas also kissed Jesus. Disciple kiss of an enemy also tastes the same as a holy kiss from a servant of God. But if you don't know how to discern, you will fall. Delilah also kissed Samson. It's not the same kiss. Those who followed Christ, they kissed the feet of Christ. It's a different kiss. Look at the next. Noah's ark, the three seats of Noah were also carried. Shem, Ham, Japheth. Did they all glorify the Father? Nay, the Father cursed the Son. And one son profaned the Father's name. And the Father cursed another name. Why? Now look at the council as I show the buckets of three vessels with one. Three vessels with one. Why? Look at the next one. In the heavenly kingdom, as we speak, Gabriel says, there is none can hold it with me of these things, like chief prince Michael. Amen? So Gabriel says, there is no one can hold up these things with me other than your chief prince Michael. So we too are called to stand as God's witnesses to do what he says. So Michael and Gabriel, they perform the work of the Lord, that is heavenly kingdom. Amen? Like two cherubims who cover the Ark of the Covenant. Now the next one, if you look at God's wisdom, King Solomon, it's a beautiful sequence of what happened to him. We don't read the verses, but I will speak. Solomon asked God, Lord, you have been faithful to my father, a good, righteous man. Have mercy upon me. Grant me the discernment to judge thy great congregation. When Solomon said this, the Lord looks at him. He said the same thing to David in chapter 7. Before David saw Bathsheba, before David killed Uriah. When the Bible says the Lord was pleased in Solomon's speech, he gave him all the wisdom. Now, whenever the Lord gives you a talent, it comes with a practical examination, like a drill session, because it's all about work. Immediately after God gave him all promise, he sent two vessels to test him. And how he test him? One mother with a dead child, one mother with a living child. But the complaint is, the actual mother of the living child was cheated by the fake mother whose child was killed, but she swapped. Do you hear me what I'm saying? Swapped. Replaced. Now let us remember that mother as the ministry or the church, and that child as the living word of God, and that son as God's wisdom, who is a righteous judge. Now let us remember this. If I were Solomon, what I would think, that is what I was meditating yesterday. If I were Solomon, if the Lord sent me two women carrying one dead child, one living child, complaining about one another, what I would see? When David lied and killed Uriah in a strategic, cunning manner, he took Bathsheba, they bring forth a child, and that child was struck by Lord, and on the seventh day, the child died. So now, Bathsheba, before becoming the wife of David, now she is carrying a child, a mother with a dead child. I want you to imagine what I'm saying. Visualize. If Solomon sees his mother in two states, one, before she became a wife of my father David, and after she became the wife of my father David, according to the Father in heaven, he took her as wife, then he comforted Bathsheba, then Jedediah, which is Solomon, was born. That is, who is standing in front now. Now, one child who died and one child who is alive. Now, if you are Solomon, it is your story. Look deeply. It is the story of Solomon. Child of flesh died from the same mother. Child in spirit lived, who is a king now. Now, how Solomon judged the people? Did not tell, you are right, you are wrong. He provoked and temptation of agape. He said, kill the child, divide the child to each side. On Calvary, when the Lord was slain for you and me, do you think he died for healed people, noble people, righteous people? And the Lord says, I came for the sick. I came for sinners. He died for you and me. He died for all. And he's an inheritance to all. The Bible says he gave himself as a ransom for all. And Solomon was telling the same thing in a spiritual, deeper manner. Kill the child, divide the inheritance. And the mother said, let me be the loser. Let my child live. Let her keep my child. And that other mother didn't say anything. Why? If I die, all die. If I fall, all fall. If my child die, all the child shall die. That is the attitude of Lucifer, isn't it? If I fall, hey, one third, my gangsters, come down. You know why one third fell? They fell in the counsel of whom they followed. On the last side, the shepherd, the sheep scatter. Why? Those who follow different counsel will be following their counsel. Those who stay with the counsel of God, they stay in the heavenly realm. Michael and Gabriel. Now, when Solomon said this, sacrificial love of that woman was revealed, and the selfish, cunning, deceitful attitude of other woman was also revealed, and Solomon's wisdom was glorified. But let us bring it to all of us. If I chose to be a fleshful child, I will die. If I chose to be a fleshful man, I will die to my old man. Because there is a great whore of Babylon waiting, you are my child. You are my child. Come to death. Let us have dinner for death. Why? Great whore of Babylon knows that you are not her child, but she wants you to embrace her as a mother, as a lover, and die with her. Self-destructive attitude. But the one who was sacrificial, she glorified the name of the Lord. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. Let my people live. And the mother says, if I perish, I perish. If I lose, I lose. Let my son live. Attitude of the true church of God. If I lose, I lose. My family win. Where is the counsels? Next one. The Lord in Calvary, there were two thieves. One was judged to life. One was judged to death. Amen? Now think about King Solomon and the King of Kings, who is wiser than Solomon. He judged the mother of the living child with the living child, and he judged the mother of the dead child with the dead child. Am I right? Now look at this, the thief for life, thief for death. Is it the same thing? It is the same thing. And we sing a song, child of sorrow and of woe. And we say, my mother conceived me in sin. What do you see? You see the same thing. Next one. The Lord was with Joseph even when he was in the prison. Amen? But the Lord was using Joseph as a trap to test Potiphar and Potiphar's wife. Now, one, the Lord used to serve Joseph. That is Potiphar. Amen? And the one, the Lord used to test Joseph by the wicked temptation of enemy through Potiphar's wife to pollute the garment of Joseph, and Joseph passed the exam. Left the garments, ran. Now in this council, who glorified God? Potiphar's wife? Nay. Potiphar? Somewhat. Joseph? Yes. But how come he escaped in a council of three? Next. The Lord was with David. Amen. He was with Uriah also. Amen. He was also with Bathsheba. Amen. Because Bathsheba is the wife of Uriah. But when that mistake happened, the Lord told David, I am not with you. I chose to stay with Uriah. In that council, you see David failed. He failed. Now, the Lord chose to identify himself with Uriah. Not David, not Bathsheba. Amen? Now, remember the different counsel that the Bible unleashes to our understanding. Next one. When the Lord also dealt the same situation with Nabal and Abigail, the Lord identified himself with Abigail, not with David, not with Nabal. Because David says, thank you so much, my dear Abigail. If you did not come, I would have killed your husband. And Abigail expressed the discernment of God to David. And David says, blessed art thou. And I thank the Lord for your discernment. The Lord chose to identify with Abigail. In this council, two failed, one glorified. Now, Moses, Korah, Dathan, Abiram. This is a classic example of the entire council fell. No, all out. All out. No, what is all out? The Lord says, all shall fall. Why? Not a single vessel to intercede. They became as one. Korah, Dathan, Abiram. Now the next one. The Lord was with Aaron. But he was not with Nadab and Abihu. Oh. One passed the exam, two failed. But the two, they came from the bowels of Aaron. But because the tabernacle was absolutely misused with a strange fire, the Lord destroyed the council of two. Aaron escaped. You know what does it mean? Aaron, blessed is he who walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, even though the ungodly was his very own sons. He escaped. If he had walked in, you would see three people burned to death on the same day. God does not care. Next one. The Lord with Eli. Of course, he was guiding Prophet Eli. He was showing mercy to Prophet Eli. But what happened to Aaron also happened to Eli. But here, the problem is all out. What is all out? All three failed. But before the Lord removed Eli, he showed him why he is going to remove him. By removing Hophni and Phinehas. Remember the name Phinehas? Also Phinehas. Which Phinehas? Hey, I am also a child of God. Which child of God? Oh, there are two versions. The version of God's child. You, the version of you yourself. Now this all out counsel. Now let's go to the next one. The Lord was with Jacob. But yet the Lord could not complete this work without Rachel and Leah. Amen. This is a very beautiful explanation. Two different wombs the Lord used to spread his kingdom. Don't look at this physically. You bring like the two witnesses who carry the word of God in their heart. They go and speak left and right. They would complete the work of the Lord when they come. Amen. Jacob did not know that Leah is going to be the mother of the line of Judah. He did not know. He did not know that Leah is going to be the mother of Levi. He did not know. But the one who he wanted, she could only bring forth Joseph and Benjamin. Who is Benjamin? The first king of Israel. Amen. Who is Joseph? The savior of Israel. Instrumental role they played. But Levites, Judah, all from Leah. Many are the plans of man, but the wisdom of the Lord shall be established. Now, the Lord with Paul and Silas and prison keeper. Now, if you look at this beautiful council, all three passed the exam, but actually the prison keeper failed in the first to kill himself. But in the end, in the appointed time, the vision was completely fulfilled by Apostle Paul screamed, don't do it, don't kill yourself, you are a child of God. So the Paul, Silas, prison keeper fellowship glorified God because the Lord established the council. Although there was an initial failure, setback. We should remind all of us that we were all that prison keeper walking into death. And the Lord sent his servants to come and speak life to us. And we escaped from death and we embraced life. Amen. Next one. The Lord himself is going to send the two witnesses at the very end as he has been. What he did to Sodom and Gomorrah, it is going to see version 2. Because the whole world has become Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord will also send two witnesses this time. And they will also come with the counsel of God. But one is going to fail. The prisoners of the world would not become the prisoners of the word of God. And they will fail. But you know how they are going to fail? By killing the two witnesses. So to flesh, in this council, last council, the two witnesses will be murdered. And the whole world will see it. The prisoners will win first. Correct? First victory. But at last, the two witnesses are not going to be killed forever. They will live with the Lord forever. But the one who judged them to death, they will be gnashing their teeth when the Lord was dealing with them in bowels of vials of wrath, and they repented not. In the heavenly kingdom, before aeons of time, we all remember the estate where Lucifer was. The angel, beautiful, mighty, anointed cherub, worshipping, music, everything, so beautiful with 9 stones. That was the initial state, amen? Who was the carrier of the light. But that Lucifer fell. But the wisdom of God stood still in Michael and Gabriel. They still stand in their lot. Gabriel speaks to Daniel in Daniel 12. And Gabriel speaks to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. And Gabriel speaks to Mary in Matthew chapter 1. Gabriel stand in his lot. That's the meaning of why the Lord is keep on using his two anointed cherubs. Now let us the next one. Angels. Now, in the Garden of Eden, let us introduce the heavenly kingdom, how it was corrected in a small scale demonstration of Garden of Eden, where God was fellowshipping with Adam and he made Eve. Serpent had the influence of the enemy. Now there are three. Correct? There are three. Serpent, upright creature. Adam, upright man of God. Eve, upright woman of God until she fell. Now these three bring forth Cain and Abel. Amen? Now let us remember this. In this council, let us continue. The end of the days, the whole world is also becoming like, not the Garden of Eden, but like Garden of Gethsemane, where the children of God groaning, moaning for his coming with desire. The last Adam is with us. He has given us a promise with the power of Holy Ghost. Amen. He is with us. The Comforter is in us. And what the bride shall do? Not to make the same mistake of Eve, who listened to the counsel of serpent and fell, forsaking the counsel of Adam. And this bride of Christ should never ever misplace and replace the counsel of Adam, last Adam. And now that last Adam gave us the instruction of what is the counsel of God's wisdom. And if you don't do so, the serpent and nature that will give you Babylon, really, because the great whore of Babylon, she is also in work. Same as Delia, who was deceiving Samson, come dear, come honey, to shave your head, to take the glory of God from you. But the enemy can't touch the glory of God. But the glory of God can leave the tabernacle when you tell him, I don't love you, man. I don't love you, God. I don't love you. I am the best. Daniel chapter 11 is a complete bragging, boasting, prideful statement of the adversary says, I am the best. And that chapter ends by saying, he had no help. Wow. Now, reflect this and let's come to the deeper version of us. What the Lord said, Jesus Christ, love thy God. Hold on. The Lord tells to Daniel through Gabriel, go thy way. And Jesus says, love thy God. Gabriel says, go thy way. And Jesus says, I am the way. Now, what is go thy way? What is love thy God? Now, what is love thy God? The Lord unfolds it all with thy heart and all with thy soul, all with thy mind. So, remember the three words, soul, heart, and mind. And remember the three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar. Remember the three friends, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. Remember the three daughters, Jemima, Keziah, Karen, Hapuk. Remember the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth. Remember these three names as we continue. When Jesus Christ commanded us in John 17, which we have to read today, he says, abide as one with one another. Amen? As one. One mouth, one voice, one accord, One mind, one desire, one goal, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one family of God. One. Because there is only one head of the family of God, Jesus Christ. Now it says, the Lord says, abide in faith, okay, good. Abide in hope, good. Abide in charity, good. But charity is the greatest of all. If it is the greatest of all, why it is part of the three? It can be the zero, then everything can be 1, 2, 3. Can be faith, hope, peace. Why the Lord came down? Why He washed your feet? Why He did not show some servant to wash your feet? Why He Himself washed your feet? Think. If God is love, why God so loved the world, gave His only Son to wash your feet? If faith, hope, love is numbered as 1, 2, 3, why the Bible says charity is the greatest of all? If He is the greatest of all, why He called Himself a servant? Eh? What the Lord is doing to all of us? How do we behave? Oh, this family, or my family. Oh, this brother, or my brother. Oh, this sister, or my sister. Oh, they, them, or me, us. Look at the next one. God of peace shall sanctify you, apostolic faith, command you, instruct you, warn you, bless you, rebuke you. What's it says? The God of peace shall sanctify you. Now you see the word peace. It was not labeled here. It was taken as separate roof and says, God of peace shall sanctify you. What the book of Daniel says, blessed is he who waited. Do you know who will wait? The one who received the peace of God is the only one who can wait. Because peace of God will give you the fruit of patience. And in that peace, the Lord can sanctify you whole in spirit, number one, whole in soul, number two, and whole in body, number three. These three are three different scriptures which I want to read, but there is no time. But you know where it is. You can search and find. Now, spirit, soul, body, faith, hope, love, heart, soul, mind. Now look at your life. Who are your friends? With whom you counsel? How you counsel? Stand in thy lot. What is your lot? Stand in the counsel of God's wisdom. If not, every one of us will lose discernment. When we lose discernment, whatever the sad ending of the different combination that I showed you can happen to us. Stop it. Now, let us come to the end of the sermon. Now, I want us to remember how we started, and we will read few verses to close the sermon series as of today by the grace of God. Let us all go back to Apostle Paul. As the Lord leads, we will continue a new series from next Sunday. But today, as of today, the 12th part of the sermon series shall also serve as the end of this sermon series. Turn your scriptures to Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsel of God. Who is speaking? The apostle is speaking. What the apostle is saying, I did not hide or refrain or forsake you by not establishing you in the counsel of God. Now what is the counsel of God? Now continue. Verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, unto all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Remember book of Daniel as I speak. And remember our very own family as we speak. The Lord also had sent an apostle. Amen. And when the apostle was taken, what Apostle Paul said will also come to pass. Because apostolic faith is apostolic faith. irrespective of the age group, the church age. Next verse. For I know this, after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Then who are these grievous wolves? What we will do? Oh, someone new come to the church. Oh no, the one who offended me. The grievous wolves are your ways of counseling with your heart, which will grieve you. And not just that, it will also manifest in the terms of false Christ, false preachers, false ministries, false anointing, because everything will manifest. Because God's counsel will fail miserably when we lose the glory of God. Now what he says to all of us, verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Now remember Job 42 verse 7. Everything Eliphaz said was good. Everything Bildad said was good. Everything Zophar said was good, although they were being so harsh. But God said the context was absolutely wrong, and he rebuked them, including Job. The word of God can be preached in completely wrong context. But as it is, every verse may stay true. But when you put them together, the context can be different. For instance, the Lord gives us 100 bricks. He tells us, make a square for me. What will you do? Length, width, everything same. Square. I make a triangle. But same bricks. But I can make a triangle. If I lose my discernment. Same bricks, same scripture, same verses. But I make a triangle, you make a square. Then I make a rectangle. But the Lord says square. Discernment makes us to conform to the image, what he wants us to be. Next verse says, therefore watch and remember, that is discernment in God's righteousness, remember, forget not, that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Why 3 years? Because that's the parable of Christ. The fig tree will be tested for 3 years to see if there is any fruit. If there is no fruit, the Lord says, cut it off, throw it in the fire. And Apostle Paul says, 3 years I was watching, praying, interceding. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of God's grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. What is sanctified? Soul, spirit, body is sanctification. The three elements of how God made you. Now, this apostle, warning, Peter, this Apostle Paul, let's go to Apostle Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let us read from verse 2 Peter chapter 1 verse, let's read from 12. Because Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, they speak what Daniel spoke in chapter 11. Sometimes we are confounded that it is going between nations, leaders of the nations, but you can replace the word nation into ministries, church of God, family of God, and you can replace the names of leaders into false preachers. Because Antichrist also boasts himself as the minister of righteousness. Which righteousness? Now let's read what Peter says. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in present truth. Because all of them, they know the truth. But being established in the present truth is where we fail. What is present truth? The counsel of God today. Today. Next verse. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now, Peter is speaking by saying, verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle. You see, what does it mean? My tabernacle. He says, I'm going to rest with my fathers. Good night. Rest in peace. Rest in my fathers. Stand in thy Lord. He says, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shewed me. He did the same thing. Son of God slept in the will of God. Amen. He died according to the will of God. Father in heaven. Verse 15, moreover, I will endure that ye may be able to, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Now remember what Apostle Paul said, and you see what Peter says. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, that is Daniel 11, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Indeed, Peter saw the transfiguration of Christ, but he could not understand why the Lord showed to him. He understood later when he became an apostle. Now he says, verse 17, He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount, and we understood not. He didn't say that, but he understood not. That is why he denied Christ three times. And Daniel heard, understood not, because it was not revealed to him. Peter, James, John, they all heard, but they understood not. The Son of Man is the image of God. They understood when he gave them the Holy Ghost. Verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Remember the word prophecy. Where unto you ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. What is the purpose? Gabriel tells Daniel, consider the vision, it is for many days. Last verse, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. And Gabriel tells Daniel, go thy way. I'm not revealing this to you. What is this word private interpretation? Verse 21, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What happening to the world today? Every country who is doing things in the name of scripture, they all quote a prophecy. Do you see that? Even in their government agenda, they use prophecy of God saying, that's why we are doing this. And God is watching everything and being silent. Why? We are still in grace. Now, let us all rise. We read Hebrew chapter 5 verse 1-4. Hebrew chapter 5 verse, let us all read this together, verse 11, 12, 13, 14. Of whom we have many things to say and how to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. May the Lord guide us as we close with the prayer. The word good and evil, it's all the way echoing from the Garden of Eden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But the word discernment has to be rooted in the righteousness of God. We will continue by the grace of God next Sunday with a new sermon series. And I want all of us to reflect this deeply. I could not read many verses today, but the Lord's guidance will lead us. Our position in the kingdom of God comes with a calling. Every one of you has been called by God by name. Amen? He called me by name. There is a calling, there is a purpose, there is an expectation, there is a desire from God concerning you. And the Lord says, get it revealed to you by my leading and stand in the lot, which is the counsel of God. Amen? When doing so, we are tested, tempted, tried, deceived by our very own flesh, by what we hear, what we see, what we speak, what we understand. King Solomon says, do not hear all the words. Because all the word means Eliphaz, Bildad, Sofar. But Solomon says, hear only those words which glorify God. That is what Elihu said and what God said that makes sense, where God exempted him from rebuke. We are not any of those. We are the Job. As a bride of Christ, the Lord wants us to be counseled by what is glorifying to him, like what happened to Daniel through Ananiah, Azariah, Mishael. Amen. May the Lord guide us that we don't become the Peter, James, John who slept in the Garden of Gethsemane, but we become the same Peter, James, John who were sitting in the house on the day of Pentecost as one, for the Holy Ghost to descend upon them. Amen. The Lord bless you all. Shalom. Let's pray. Our Lord, our God, we thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name, O Lord, from the day of creation, from the day of our salvation, from the day when we started understanding your love to walk with you, O Lord. You have showed us, O Father, when you spoke to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, you questioned them and they were answering in other names. Not me, is the woman you sent. And Lord, Cain said the same. Am I my brother's keeper? But Lord, in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, you spoke, I in you, you in me, and we are one. Father in heaven, may you bless us, O Lord. There is only one bride of Christ. There is only one family of God. There is only one groom, beautiful, beautiful groom. And there is only one last Adam. And Lord, may you unite us, O Lord, as one body of Christ in the discernment in God's righteousness. To see your love in one another. To see your grace and mercy in one another. To believe in the faith, hope in one another. Built upon charity, agape, which is God who is love. Help us, Lord, that we are sanctified in the peace of God. The message of Book of Daniel. They who know the Lord, they were able to endure and withstand adversity. Which is the Lord bless Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Those three, O Lord, the three friends of Daniel, they are friends of God. And Lord, may you bless all of us that we remain as the friends of Jesus Christ, the complete manifestation of God who is Spirit. Help us, guide us, that we glorify your name and we live a life. We bring forth the beautiful daughters as what happened to Job. That is the fruit of the Holy Ghost, is the beauty of the child of God. In Jesus Christ's name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.